nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And tomorrow, a special event in Juba will mark the International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action. And a press statement by the government and the partners in Mine Action says, and I quote, the National Mine Action Authority, in partnership with the United Nations Mission, United Nations Mine Action Service, which is known as UNMAS, the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, UNMIS, and the Mine Action Implementing Partners with support from the Embassy of Japan, will commemorate the International Mine Awareness Day and Assistance in Mine Action. And the event will be held at the Pyramid Hotel in Juba, and this is under the theme Safe Futures Start Here. And it will highlight more than two decades of mine action efforts in South Sudan to protect civilians and to support peace and stability and to restore livelihoods and promote development. To speak about this event and also the efforts that have been taking place, I have with me in the studio representatives from the mine action partners in South Sudan, and who will be speaking about why mine action remains critical for the country. I welcome Mr. William Maina, the Deputy Chief of Operation for UNMAS. Welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you very much, and good evening, our listeners.
And I have with me in the studio Taban Augustine, Executive Director, Save Lives Initiative South Sudan, which is a national non-governmental organization. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Shadar. Thank you for coming.
Yes, welcome. And I'm supposed to have a third guest online, but we are still waiting for him to log in. If he logs in, fine. And we are continuing with our conversation on this day. The question for both of you, William and Taban, is why marking a day for mine action globally and locally?
Thank you very much for your question. Yes, International Mine Awareness Day is a very important day for mine action globally and locally. First of all, we want to showcase the work that we've done in terms of clearance of explosive ordnance out here in South Sudan, both in the past, what is being done presently, and what is the remaining problem. So we take one of the reasons is to take the advantage of tomorrow and to showcase what I've just mentioned. We also take advantage to raise advocacy on mine action tomorrow. Because remember, this day is celebrated globally, and our donors will be in that room. Our partners, government authorities will be in that room, and not just in the room, but even radio and social media. So we take advantage of that to advocate and I mean raise awareness for mine action work during IMAD. Again, we also raise awareness for victim support because obviously, as you know, unfortunately, in South Sudan, we have over 5,000 people who have, since we started recording, who've lost their lives because of accidents caused by explosive ordnances. But also, there are those who are still, who are survivors. We don't call them victims. We call them survivors. So we also take advantage of the day to raise awareness on survivors. And so, yeah, those are some of the things.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, William. I think as William has put most of the point, and of course, to mark this day is also important. You know, one of the important point as well, because it's International Day of Mine Awareness and Mine Action. Also, considering that, of course, it's international, also we must consider that it also foster a sense of global solidarity as well, and as well commitment to the goal of mine-free world. At the same time, Also, it's encouraging, you know, collective actions and also shared responsibility.
Mm.
Yeah, because as partners, of course, we also have to make sure we comrade the same day. As a food, of course, there will be a lot of showcasing of what Mind Action is all about, all the activities that the Mind Action partners are doing. You know, this will also be showcased.
Mm.
And considering that, of course, as he mentioned also, because it also raises awareness. Not
yeah.
only to the event itself and also outside, yeah,
mm-hmm.
To ensure that we also send a message out there related to the danger of mine and explosive ordnance.
Yeah.
Then the last point, of course, the same thing, the event also would highlight, you know, most of the challenges and progress made during mine clearance, mostly in South Sudan as well, of course, globally.
Yeah. You spoke about the danger.
Yeah.
So let's go back very quickly. What is the problem? Let's see, what is the problem you are addressing here?
Yeah.
What is it?
Currently, in our database, because UNMAS, in collaboration with the National Mine Action Authority, which is NMA. NMA is a government commissioned authority to deal with mine action.
National Mine Action Authority. Yeah,
yeah, in South Sudan. Basically, they are the ones who authorize Taban to do mine action in South Sudan, myself and everyone else. But we collaborate on many other issues. And one of the key things that we collaborate on is data. We, on behalf of National Mine Action Authority, we are the data custodian for all hazards in South Sudan. So to answer your question, we know there's a known contamination. We have a figure. We have a number. And we're talking about just over 21 square kilometers of known hazardous areas of mixed items. What do I mean by that? We're talking of anti-personnel mines, anti-tank mines, cluster munitions, battlefields, and all this information we know. However, there's still areas that we do not know, because this information comes in from either from members of community, who have seen, who are aware of karma, of witnessed. And unfortunately, even when accidents do happen, sometimes it creates more information on our database. Also, we get to, you know, humanitarian partners when they are out there. Like my colleague Ian Taban, he's running a national NGO out there for mine action. So when his employees get to see something out there, then it's reported, teams go out there, check what it is, mm-hmm. and put it in our database.
Yeah.
So, as I said, we have about 21 of known contamination that is out there. However, it's still unknown.
It's 21 what?
Square kilometers of, of known contamination.
It's huge.
It is. But yeah. I must say that there's been a considerable amount of work that has been done since the country gained independence.
Yeah, we will come to that.
Okay.
We will come to that. Still, Taban, the problem is still, we will move to, because you are addressing a problem. These things are remnants of war or something that have been neglected, thrown out haphazardly. And do they include something that is globally prohibited, shouldn't be used, even if you have war, whatever?
Yeah, thank you. Actually, you know, landmines, these are explosive ordnance, and they pose a threat to both human being and as well vehicles, because they are categories of landmines. As a food, of course, South Sudan is a member of Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Treaty. So, and of course, Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Treaty is it prohibits countries, of course, to use anti-personnel landmines to transport and also transfer. So we are part of that signatory. So anti-personnel landmine, actually, these landmines that are not allowed to be used in South Sudan. Practically, of course, as I mentioned before, we are signatory, and of course, we have not been doing that. However, we have some landmines, so anti-personnel landmines, that were laid during the 21 years
war
during
war.
Sudan, yes, people are during Sudan Army Forces and SPLA by then.
Mm.
So those mines are still existing. And
they can remain active?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. A mine can stay for more than 100 years wow. underground, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they still, of course, they still pose a threat. They're very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And this is actually what is on the ground right now. Like my colleague mentioned, they have a database. Mm-hmm. And of course, those databases, we have known hazardous areas and we have unknown hazardous areas. Unknown hazardous areas are areas that are not known. Because you remember during the war, during SPLA, sometimes they don't lay mine using the mouth. So you find that there are some mines that are not yet known. So it will be known when accident happen in the area or when a community member sees it. Because, like, of course, you mentioned, I have a national NGO where yeah. we also do mine awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Explosive ordnance risk education, where mm-hmm. we go to the community and raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And our main purpose, of course, is to ensure that we raise awareness in order to avoid accident and also in order for the community also to know that there are dangers existing within their communities.
Yeah. Yeah. For the listener who might be anywhere in the country, he might be wondering whether his own area is infested or contaminated. So what areas in general, roughly, that are more exposed or have this contamination in the country?
If you may allow yeah. me to jump in, Taban, on that one.
Yes.
In our database, again, going back to the issue of the non-contamination,
yeah.
about our database is disaggregated to the fifth level of administrative area. So country, what's next? State.
County. State, county. Kuruma.
Bayam. Then all the way to the Payam.
Yeah.
So our map, we have our maps itself up to the Payam level. If we had the resources, we could have been going further.
Yeah.
So from what we have, the remaining data, about 9% of the Payams in the whole countries are the one that we with known contamination, 9%. So what we are saying is that 91% have no known contamination. Or there's been a considerable amount of work that has been done to clear, explosive ordnance and not mm-hmm. remain these ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are also having teams all over the country. For instance, we have national NGOs who are doing risk education and community liaison.
Mm-hmm.
We have about
16.
How much? How
many? 16 national
NGOs. Yeah, 16 national NGOs.
Yeah. They increased, right? They increased from the previous NGOs, or they remain like...
No, mostly these are funded national NGOs that are operational.
Yes.
Most of these national NGOs
mm-hmm.
are funded by UNICEF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, did they increase in number or you have less?
No, in terms of national NGOs,
yes.
they have increased.
They have increased.
Yeah, they have increased.
So
yes.
more
yeah, yeah.
national NGOs are getting experience in this work
yes.
kind of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the more people we have out there doing mine risk education, the better
yeah.
for everyone. Because these national NGOs, they are very good because they speak the language. Some of them are community-based organizations.
Yes.
So these are not people who come from a different area. These are our village mates.
Mm-hmm.
These are people I went to school with.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a bit of buy-in. And when you have a buy-in, you're able to get to know if a specific area has a contamination.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the national NGOs, we also have international organizations. We have two international NGOs, that is Danish Refugee Council, and also we have Mines Advisory Group, that is MAG, and our colleague, the Program Manager for Mines Advisory Group, unfortunately, he didn't make it.
Yeah.
He is the head of MAG. We call them MAG.
Yeah.
On top of that, we have other teams which are funded by UNMIS through UNOPS and UNMAS, and these are four commercial contracted demining, conducting humanitarian demining in the country.
Mm.
So overall, we are having 16 national NGOs doing
yeah.
risk education. We also have, on top of that, 19 UNMIS funded organizations and about six international NGOs doing clearance out there.
Yeah.
And on top of that, all these international organizations, they also have risk education teams with them. So if you add that, we have quite a footprint on the ground.
The listeners, Radio Miraya, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is a nationwide discussion hour. With me in the studio are partners who are engaged in mine action and mine awareness, and that is because tomorrow they will be marking the International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action, and for the year 2025. With me in the studio is William Maina, and that is he is the Deputy Chief of Operations with UNMAS, that is the United Nations Mine Action Service, and also Taban Augustine, Executive Director for Save Lives Initiative South Sudan, is a national non-governmental organization in risk education. And now the listener might be interested in hearing from your showcase some of the achievements or some of the feedback from those who have received your service and the areas you have cleared and restored livelihood in those areas, because no longer people are no longer afraid of going to farm or settling on that. Yeah, when any one of you can come in. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just last year, 2024, we cleared about 11.4 square kilometers of land. In technical terms, we normally call it land release. So why land release? That land was contaminated with an anti-personnel mine. So a lady could not go fetch firewood, or a livestock would be injured. So that's quite an amount of area released. Yeah. And out of that, that number is disaggregated as follows. Battlefields, these are areas where during the old civil conflict, the liberation conflict, if I may use the word, Taban may know a better way to put it, about 9.5 square kilometers was released in 2024. Minefield, this is a combination of both anti-personnel mines, anti-tank mines, and mine roads, was about 1.5 square kilometers of road. Then there are these data that there are these areas that are reported that are suspected to be contaminated. But when we send our clearance teams on the ground, or the survey teams when they go to the ground, they find that actually it was wrong information. And out of that, we released about 4.5 square kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So out of what I've mentioned, it submits to 11.4.
Yeah.
And so with that, we've released agricultural areas, clinics, schools, roads, areas where cattle pass through.
Yeah.
So this is basically what I've managed
for. For Taban, because you are engaged in what you call it risk.
Yeah, risk, of course, and also there's an impact in that as well.
Is it saving lives?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
You know, like for us mostly, of course, we're doing explosive ordnance risk education.
Mm.
And of course, our main target is to change behavior, behavioral change, where in most of the areas that we are working on, you will see change of behavior. And in terms of communities, even children, starting avoiding dangerous areas. And this is one of the impact. And then secondly, children and women also started reporting special dangerous areas. And such areas, when they're referred, of course, we normally send the report directly to UNMAS, and any other technical team are sent to remove those explosive ordnance that in the area, or dangerous items that in the area. This is actually one of the impact. And I think most of the implementing partners that are doing explosive risk education are actually doing the same thing. I don't have data in place.
Sorry. It's okay.
I should be able to give you exactly how.
With the normalization, if I can say, of the situation in the country, you have returnees.
Yes.
You have refugees coming back and all this. And even you have displaced people who just come and stay anywhere they are. So does it contribute to the risk, heighten the risk, because they are in a hurry? They cannot wait for NGOs and government and tell them, it's just my village, I want to come there. This is my place. Yes.
Yeah, you know, mostly like in the explosive ordnance risk education settings, we have different type of activities that actually we do.
Yeah.
Of course, we also do target IDPs, returnees. Like, of course, like I mentioned, you have more than 16 partners that are doing EORE. Mm-hmm. And we have some of these partners actually that are working at the border area, where, of course, their main responsibility as well is to give to raise awareness on the risk of explosive ordnance as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, one of the key things that we normally give them is, to, of course, when they're coming to a new area, of course, is for in order for them to avoid such to avoid those areas. Like I mentioned before, there is a key messages that we normally give them. They should avoid unused roads. They should they should move in an area where people move as well, and they should also avoid fetching water in unused stream or unused borehole. And there are a number of key messages that actually we normally provide, mostly to refugees and IDPs as well.
Yeah, William.
Thank you. To add on to what Taban is saying about risk education, also at the entry points when they are coming from international borders crossing into South Sudan, we normally have the way stations where we're going to position our teams. At this point, we do what we call emergency risk education. As you said correctly, they're in a hurry. It's a lot of work going on at those way stations. So there's a version of risk education that we deliver for returnees and refugees. And of late, what we did was for the Sudan crisis, when it happened in April 2020, was it
24.
We sent and locate our teams in Renk and other crossing points across the country where we did emergency risk education, which is a shortened version from what Taban and other and our colleagues will do, which is normally a 45-minute session, more detailed. On top of just the session, we also give them pamphlets with diagrams and with different languages, English, Arabic, and a local language, and also a number to call in case they find something that is suspicious along the way.
I will soon go to the listeners, and the numbers to call are 09-1206-7879 and 09-1206-7929. And the third number, if you can call that also, is 09-1206-8101. And those are the numbers to call if you want to engage with us on this program. And if you have testimonies also of avoiding or falling victim to unexplosive or inexplosive ordinances, you can share with us. And if you have questions, clarifications also, you can share with us. The SMS line is 0912-177-141, and I'll be able to pick your and read your SMS communication or messages on this program on Nationwide.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation. Your preferred station, the voice of peace. No one like you, Radio Mirai, Radio Mirai.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Mirai.
So we will be engaging the listeners on this program, and I already have callers coming calling in, and we will engage them. Hello? Hello?
Hello. Yes, good evening, Gabriel.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Yes, this is Tango Juliet from Malakal.
Welcome, Tango Juliet from Malakal.
Yeah, I think I'm really happy that we have people who are able to educate our community about the danger of this landmine and other unexploded ordnance. Yeah, but I'm a little bit concerned in the way that they are conducting this. I think there is need also to tailor this thing, because if you look at most of the incidences of mine, it is mostly affecting two type of people. One is mostly boys, Mm-hmm. Number two, also, our black is missed.
Oh, okay.
In the villages.
They are innocents. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is it. Because they are turning some of this unexploited ordnance into artifacts. They are doing some kind of, how do you call this, these local artistic things.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question there. Let me pick another one. Hello?
Hello, Shada.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Garang Malongdeng from Nazan Bargazai.
Welcome, Garang.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Yes.
So my question goes like this. Why celebration, is it happening only in Jibba and it is not in some part of this one of the country like in Awil? Mm. I have never seen this celebration of this one. Then
The celebration. Okay.
Yeah, why does it happen only in Jibba and it is not in other part of the South Sudan?
Okay.
That means that mine are only in Jibba or it is Jibba to get awareness only and
we are celebrating here on Radio Miraya and tomorrow you will be hearing us. You will join us.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second question is, I want to know whether they have stopped in the whole tennis state or stopped in Jibba only.
Okay, staff. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who are well trained in this one, in land mine action, this one, in removing land mine action.
Yeah.
And also, is this program channel to end only or do they have South Sudanese there?
Okay. In Taban is South Sudanese here. Taban.
Yeah?
Do you hear Kawaja call Taban?
Okay. There's Taban, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Because I just came while you already started the program and I did not hear the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got them through this one language. I thought that they are African and there's no South Sudanese here there.
No,
okay, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
And then those are two listeners. Still the numbers to call are 09-1206-7879 and 09-1206-9729. And of course, you can call, you can send your SMS. So we had all those two callers. Yes, William. Let me open, yes. Yes.
Thank you very much. And I'll answer the question from Tango Juliet in Malakal. Thank you very much. It's very true. According to our database, the current information that we have is that majority of the accident victims, 80%, are young children. And we tend to find that the boys are more affected, also girls. But true it, as Tango Juliet put it, children are affected with that.
Mm.
We recognize that as a minor action family. And what we are doing is that, first of all, we've sat down and thought, can we change the way we deliver our risk education so that we tailor it to children?
Mm.
We've partnered with UNICEF, and also we have a working group, which is chaired by National Minor Action Authority, and all the partners that are conducting mine action work in South Sudan, and other interested stakeholders, not just the implementing partners, so that we can tailor risk education so that to address this issue of children being affected as majority in terms of accidents.
Yeah.
Also, Ministry of Education, there's a curricular design so that risk education is part and parcel of school education curriculum so that it's a lesson just like Swahili,
Arabic.
Arabic and geography and mathematics.
Mm.
So that's one. On the scrap metal dealer issue, we've had instances even here in Juba about that. And we've increased our campaign on risk education, trying to go and meet these scrap metal dealers. And thankfully, we are getting positive response and phone calls coming to us on them reporting that, yes, people are collecting metal for livelihood. And one of the things is that, unfortunately, they end up also collecting explosive ordnance.
Yeah.
And so we have also risk education, which mainly focuses on scrap metal dealers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Taban, you wanted to add something?
Just to add on the question that Tango Juliet mentioned, I think my colleague here, William, did mention did answer him. Mm. And I don't know whether he likes the answer here or not.
Yeah.
Just to add on.
But he spoke about the children.
Yeah.
What explains that children are more prone?
Yeah.
Why?
What no, I'm just coming to that point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is one of the things I cannot we discovered. Mm. You know, and the most important point that he brought is about the scrap metal collectors. Yeah. Because mostly, you know, this has also come to economic pressure from the family, where you find this, some of these children are pressured to go and look for something. Yeah. And within the locality, if they find that collecting metal can generate money for them, is what they will go to. They will go for. Of course, this happened in Juba, where we have a lot of accidents actually happening. Mostly, children are the target, and most of the children are metal collectors, or scrap collectors, we call them. Yeah, yeah. And then the other point, the other thing also is mostly, you know, parental negligence. Yeah, and you find most of these children, some their parents are soldiers, and some of these soldiers also sometimes they go on to their houses with guns. Yeah, like grenades and those things. Yeah. And you, because there's an incident that happened in Wau where children were killed, where they found a garnek, hand garnek, and it exploded, it killed them. So it is what one of the things Akile does as implementing partners, we are tailoring some messages to target these children as William Foot. Mm. And of course, there are some materials that Akile is still under development where it will be used to make sure that to change their behaviors. Mm. Yeah. Then just to move on to Garang's question, why celebrate
in Juba only?
In Juba only. Of course, International Mine Awareness Day, we have been celebrating in all over the states, like, all over South Sudan. I think it happened only in 2013 after the crisis, where we only focused within Juba. Yeah. But we believe it will come to our will soon because we still have a number of years to clear a landmine in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
So he should be patient.
He says South Sudanese are not there. What do you tell him?
He said South Sudan. No, of course I am South Sudan. To be honest, the mine action program in South Sudan, you'll find most of the deminers are South Sudanese. Mm-hmm. Not actually most, all of the deminers are South Sudanese.
Yes, William.
Thank you very much, Taban. And yes, just to give our assurance to Garang or Colin, Will, we've also been conducting International Mine Awareness Days every state, we hear him and we'll consider maybe sometime we'll do it in the future in that Northern Bargaza state.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of national capacity, for mine clearance, in mine action family, I will tell you this. The people who are actually swinging detectors that we use, we have about 640 plus national staff, all South Sudanese, in different positions, team leaders, section leaders, deminers, medics, because our teams must have medics. Then we have 100 or so risk education who are purely South Sudanese. In fact, Mine Action prides itself as one of the industries in South Sudan where we have very minimal percentage of international staff compared to the national capacity.
Thanks for that. And of course, let me give the callers, listeners, more chances. You can call if you want to call. If you have a testimony to say about how you save yourself or save somebody or help somebody to avoid the risk to unexploded ordinances, you can call on 091206-7879 and 091206-7929 and 091206-8101, and you will be on the program. Otherwise, in case of exposure or injury from a landmine or any ordinance, how would the affected persons be treated and rehabilitated? Is it part of your programs or you have other partners taking care of this?
Okay. Thank you very much. At the moment, someone is injured, we unfortunately, at the moment, we do not have the capacity to provide treatment.
Mm.
However, we have referral systems and referral pathways that we direct our survivors.
Yeah, to do that. Yes. Let me pick the caller here and we will continue with that thought. Hello?
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Oh, good evening.
Hello, welcome. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Who's calling?
Yeah, I'm Kuku from Wankai.
Wankai. Wankai is where?
From Yuntinsen, Mayom.
Mayom. Welcome, Kuku.
Yeah, I'm trying to ask some questions from the guest.
Yes, welcome. Studio. Yes.
Yeah, I heard that there is a celebration for the my action tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a referee from question from Grang.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the my action, all the time they do a celebration from Juba. It's not all part of South Sudan. But all the mining is not from Juba. All the South Sudan, there is a mining.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose they select some people from all the part of of all 10 states.
Okay.
And then they educate the children from all 10 instead when they will know that there is a danger in the what
mm-hmm.
in the mining.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your question there. Let me have another caller. Hello. Hello.
Gabriel Joseph Shadar.
Yes. Welcome, Agil. Welcome.
Thank you for recognizing my voice.
Yeah, welcome.
I have one question to our guests in the studio, as we are running out of time.
Mm.
You know, there are areas, remote areas. You see, during that time, the time of liberation time, there are areas where army, they were residing. And those areas, there might be, you know, mine that are always there and people doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Those mines have not been removed.
Yeah.
You see? What plans do they really have to make sure that they reach those areas at the grassroots level?
Okay.
To remove those mines which might be dangerous to the common citizens, to the normal citizens, to the communities at the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
Even here around Wau town, there are areas where people were residing, those army, whether they were Arabs or SPLA, where they were residing during those days. But now, those areas have not been reached by, you see, mine action group.
Mm-hmm.
What plans do they have to reach those areas across the country? Not only Wau, not only Rumbek, but across the country.
We got you.
So that they remove those those mines, which are threat, which might be threat to the lives and the life of the citizens and the animals also.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you, Agil, from Wau there. Another caller here. Hello? Yes, welcome. Tolpuk, welcome.
Yeah, Tolpuk. Shukran le mwarfa vitaga. Ana zabun khan. Ana basalam ita.
Na, marhabaik.
O azur al-gaad fil istiri da.
Marhabaik.
Ana maksud jiddan asan radio miraya jiblena maalumat fil la-la-la-ukid fil-insa. Asan kiri miraya lazim yukun miraya. Asan ita shuk nafsan. اينك نظيف ولا ما نظيف يلا وشك كيف عشان كده يعني انينا الجنوبيين وانينا الشعب بتاع الجنوب قاعدين في جنب الراديو مرايا عشان نسمع كيف الجنوب السودان بمشي يا طريقة الليلة شنو على عسل وبكرة شنو على عسل للفوغرام الفوغرام انا فرشيد دي فوغرام انا مقصود فوق جدا جدا ناس بتاع لان الماني المشكلة بتاع هنا ماين ده مشكلة عجيب في شمال بحر خزال في مناطق منطقة بقول الورول الفوق العجيل وفوق رتانيس وفي المنطقة اللي بقول الرياض وفي المنطقة بقول ميلم واتوك وفي منطقة بقول المناطق دل كان زمان ناس العرب قاعدين فوق وناس العرب يعني التراب ده فوقه ماين
زمن زمن نعم
ايوه الاسا انتم قاعدين عامل سيلبريشن في جوبا هل انينا زي ولايات ومحافظات بتاعنا كيف عشان نلقى عشان تكون نلقى الكلمه جميل عشان زول يجيبها حافظ لنفسه ويحافظ على حياه الناس التانية عشان علم الكوميونتي. هي طريقة عشان نسمع الصوت بتاعكم عشان نمشي للكوميونتي هناك بقول الناس لان المين بقول كده ما تمشي لكده ما تمشي لكده لو انت لو جيت حاجة في تيت ما تحبش. هل هي طريقة عشان نعلم الكوميونتي بتاعنا؟
شكرا. دولبوك من نورثرن باكستان. الو
الو مرحبا معكم تريزا من بي او سي ملاكال.
تريزا بي او سي ملاكال ويلكم مرحبا بك.
انا بشوف يعني الناس بتاع الارقام بتاعتي ما شاء الله وطبعا ناس شغاله في اجل المجتمع وبرضه في اطفال صغار برضه اطفال صغار يوم اجيبوا اجاب جديد كان شفت جينا مثلا شال لخم وشال هذا الجلابه كده ممكن تجيبه ممكن الفجر من الناس أنا شوف الصغار مع الظروف أنا لسه واصل لسه مزلزل شوية أنا في ملان لسه ما فجر يعني يعني نتكلم على الصغار أنا ما يلقوا حاجة ساكت لأن بيشاهوا جينا صغار يبغى يجيب جينا يجيب حاجة كاب في ذيل لكن نازل شوف الصغار
شكرا تريزا. She's saying kids should be informed, be educated, not to pick anything anyhow, and so that the one who bring the scrap and all this, yeah. So we are left with like 5 minutes. I give you the chance to respond. Some of them were in Arabic, of course.
Yeah, in Arabic.
Yes, Taban.
I think the question from Kuku is the same thing.
Garan from Will had asked.
Yeah,
the same thing like that. The response should be the same thing like what we gave Garan. He should as well be patient. Sorry. Like that we'll reach there because this thing will be done. We'll be doing international mine awareness days in all the states.
Yeah.
So we'll get there as well. Remote. He mentioned about there are some landmines in remote areas. Yeah. Just to respond him.
Yeah.
There are a number of challenges. Of course, that's why I say we have this International Mine Awareness Day. It's accurate to showcase about our progress and our challenges at the same time.
Yes.
You know, not necessarily that it is we'll reach everywhere, but we'll get there. Eventually. In terms of explosive ordnance release education, like I mentioned, we have a number of partners that are operating all over the 10 states, including the administrative areas. And most of these local partners actually are working with the community. They're working in specific counties, but I'm quite sure from with time, if we have the resources, and this is one of the challenges, of course, lack of resources actually prevent us not to reach to some of the areas. If we have the resources, we'll be able to reach there.
Yeah.
And of course, through this talk show as well, it's like we are sending message to them now.
Of course, and even tomorrow we'll play this program live.
We'll have more
input.
So with this message, someone like Aga will be able also to send message to where he is right now, that people should be avoiding dangerous areas, should be avoiding collecting unknown metal. You know, so these are the messages that it should be sending to them, and the messages, of course, we could not reach to some of the remote areas because due to some of the challenges, resources, and as well, of course, issues related to security at the same time, and accessibility, like road access to some of these areas. But we will get there. What plans to reach those areas? Of course, I mentioned, of course, we will get there. And of course, I think my colleague here will be able to mention some of the...
William, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Later, I will be able to give the response in Arabic
We are left with just 2 minutes to conclude.
Okay, so we should be concluded.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be in quick. We do hear you. Speaking to Gabriel Chada, who is talking about remote areas. One thing that I can share with our listeners this evening is that we do have a hotline, a number that is 24 hours. You can call in Arabic, English, or whichever comfortable language you have. And I'll read the number. It's 0920. So if you call this number, 0920-001055. If Taban, you can read that in Arabic for me, please, so that our listeners, and also just for the information, tell them, please, that they don't have to speak English, even
Someone can reach. Taban, I use all barra hinak, maslan, ze gibel agaw kelim gal fi mahalat al طبعا الناس ديماني ما بوصل فوق لكن رغم ده مثلا انت كان لقيت يعني لغم ولا دانا في محل بتاعك انت اضرب في رغم ده 09 20 00 55 5 مره ثانيه 09 20 00 55 5.
تمام شكرا شكرا تابان للرقم ده. So remind us what is going to happen in tomorrow's event.
Tomorrow's events, we welcome everyone to join us to commemorate the International Mine Awareness Day. Of course, like you mentioned, it will be done in Pyramid. And of course, the day mostly is to raise awareness on the danger of explosive ordnance, and as well to showcase the work that as mine action partners we are doing in South Sudan, and as well, of course, to raise to advocate. Yeah. To our donor out there that we have these challenges and we wanted to continue work, we wanted to save lives, we wanted to reach areas that Agao mentioned, so please support us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and that brings us to the end of today's talk show on Nationwide Program on Radio Miraya, and we will be having this event carried live.
Yeah.
For those who feel that it is being celebrated in Juba only, they will be joining us on live from the venue, but they will be listening to us in the 10 states, and that will be a service for our listeners. Thank you very much, William Maina,
Shukran.
Deputy Chief of Operations for UNMAS, and Taban Agustin, Executive Director for Save Lives Initiative South Sudan, for being with us on this
program. Thank you, Shalak.
Shukran.
Thank you
for having
Shukran.
You.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the end of today's Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar.
Nationwide. Your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.
أنتم تستمعون إلى راديو ميرايا